Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Very nice to be with you guys here on this Thursday night. And we're going to be with you all the way till 10 on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. So many things of an inside baseball nature going on, and I am not going to bore you with them other than to say, you know, when things are popping at your workplace, but you really, you know, who are you going to talk to about that other than other people that you work with? Because do people understand what you do for a living? Maybe they do. You know, maybe they do. What I do for a living is actually, it's not a profession being on the air that is shared by that many people. There's a small, although, you know, in the last 15 years, they did their level best. The people that, quote, run the radio business, they did their level best to bring in more amateurs, more people that couldn't find, as my father used to say, couldn't find their ass with both hands, more people who they wouldn't know which end of the microphone to talk into. I mean, in the last 15 to 20 years, the radio business has done its level best to destroy itself. Why? I have no idea. I honest to God, I don't. I was just talking today with some friends of mine, and we were reminiscing about the newspaper business. Don't shake your head, Margaret, okay?
It's just every time you do this,
I don't care about anybody getting upset. What I'm saying now, if there's a suit listening out there, if there's anybody that runs a radio company out there, if there's anybody that runs a broadcast company out there, and they're listening to the show, and they have any brains at all, they'll keep listening to me. If they're stupid, and they want to continue to watch this industry go to hell in a handcart, then go ahead, tune out. You know, I'm going to be at the NAB next week. I'm going to be a real good boy. I'm not going to say a thing. Believe me when I tell you, I don't want to. I'm going to go and do the panel for Valerie Geller and my good friend Turi Ryder. And we're going to be on the panel there talking about how we create, because that's my thing, you know. It's about how do I create a radio show.
How do you create a radio show?
Well, I go, never mind how I create a radio. I'm talking about something else.
You're talking about what? Talking about how to...
I'm just talking about the stuff that goes on behind closed doors, man. You remember that song, Behind Closed Doors?
Yes, it was a song about sex. Good God.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm going to belt somebody, man, within 3 minutes.
Every time you start the show, Mr. Center, you want to belt somebody, you got to start off different, a better attitude.
Yeah, start off with a better attitude.
Oh, get out of here, a better attitude. So in any event, lots has been going on. Lots been going on, lots of changes, lots of, you know, lots of this and lots of that and lots of some of that other stuff, man. It's a very exciting and interesting time. It is a time in America, in the American economy, honest to God, this is a time in the American economy where everybody is in business for themselves, and some are relatively successful, some are not. Some are feeling their way, some are not. Some people are prepared, some are not. Some people are have been at work, you know, kind of tilling the soil for a long time, and some people have just been thrown right into the dirt face first, you know. And that's the interesting thing, and that's actually the fun part about this part of American history. Look, okay, I don't want to get into a big long thing.
Well, you know, Phil, you're always saying you don't want to get into a big thing, but you're going on about. Now, let me just say something here, okay?
Yeah, we got to move on.
Hold on for a minute. I'm talking. First of all, my husband is a self-made man. You know, Frank Gray produced television. He's an entertainment attorney. And when I look at Frank, and you know that I communicate through music, Phil. I was a singer. I sang on Broadway.
Yeah.
Boy, you sure...
What's the matter?
Well, when I say that I sang on Broadway, most people say, oh, really? You go,
Margaret, I mean,
never mind. I sang on Broadway. Just, I'll go past it. I'll pretend like... Let me just close my eyes to it. La, 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 la. All right. I've cleared my mind.
Why do you have your eyes closed?
So I don't have to look at you.
Wow, that's sure is nice of you.
Well, would you listen to me, please? I communicate through music. Come sit by my side. Do-do-do-do-do. The Changes. You know that song? I used to sing that every night in a little nightclub in Chicago. Little nightclub on State Street.
What was the song?
It's called Changes. Every night I sang it. Come sit by my side, blah, 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 blah. The Changes. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I don't even know what the song is.
What?
What is the song? You sang it every night?
Yes. Don't point at me and yell.
Yeah, but we don't... Miss Gray, I have to tell you at this time, though, your voice just went, yeah.
It did. Your voice cracked.
And why are you pointing that out?
Because you point that stuff out to me. You point it out to me.
You point it out to me? Phil, are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you. You're not listening to me. If you sang that song every night on a nightclub in Chicago on State Street, what are the words?
I don't know, Phil. Do I look like I sing in a night? I probably ought to be singing in a nightclub now. The money that I'd pull out of a jar at the end of the night, and to be perfectly honest with you, don't say it, bud, because I will gouge your face. The money that I would take off a nightstand.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right, wow.
You'd make more money doing that than this gig.
Yes.
Well, what was great with the song?
The song was called Changes. It's a lovely song. Come sit by my side. Watch the time go by. It's about growing old. It goes, come sit by my side. Then we'll both grow old and rot. I don't know. Mummify something. And then changes. And it's so romantic.
Mummify? I mean, what are you? Are you actually trying to sell this song?
Phil, I don't... The aging, it was a beautifully romantic song. People will die, and unless they're found, they mummify. So come sit by my side unless they find us.
Dad, that in song?
No, but that was the intent.
Oh, come on. I mean, I've heard some screwy ideas. I've never in my life, nor am I, you ever going to get me to buy that song was, well, you know, the intent, Phil, was that we'll die as old people and mummify because... There she goes.
No, I'm not. I'm getting a drink of water. I'm not leaving.
Oh.
Look at you.
I mean...
But I let the record show that Phil Henry is laughing at the idea of two elderly people dying and not being found until they look like that... What was the guy we saw, Bud?
Guy in the Alps.
That brown-skinned Alps man, the man that was dead for 3,000 years?
No, I don't think they're going to look like that.
Oh, thank you, Quincy. Thank you.
Yeah, how do you know, Mr. Henry?
Thank you, Quincy.
No, I'm just saying that that body that they found... How did we get into this discussion? The body they found in the Alps was the body of a 3,000-year-old man, but what the hell are we talking about?
You were talking about the radio business, and I'm trying to get you to see reality, and I was singing Changes, and naturally we begin to talk about decomposing flesh.
Yeah.
Well...
Yeah, see what I'm saying? Unless you guys let me take the lead, every night when we start this show, we're going to find ourselves wandering right into a large sand pit.
Oh, well, belch, why don't...
God, Mr. Henry, you're all like, burp, sand pit.
Did you hear me burp, Robert?
No, I did not. But as obvious you were trying to suppress.
Well, suppressing is as bad, because if you're suppressing, it goes like this. Hi, I'm Margaret Gay. Oh, excuse me. And you can hear the gas leaking out of your nose.
Last night, and then I got to take a break because we've wasted 15 minutes.
Don't put your hands into a strangling posture.
I didn't put my hands into a strang... Last night we had Don Berman on the show, and he called me the La Brea Tar Pits. He said that he was a large and rare and exotic animal, and every time he went on my show, he had wandered into the tar pits.
Oh, and you like that, huh?
No, I don't. I didn't know what to make of it until I asked. He says, when I'm on your show, it's like the tar pits. And there I am, looking up with the tar ever encroaching on my face. And I'm mouthing the words, help me.
And you find that funny?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, that does sound kind of bad.
Oh, would you guys are by... Talk about drinking the Kool-Aid.
Are you saying I've got some kind of mind control?
I'm saying you're selling these guys a line of bullcrap about the power of media... And the tar pit and the quicksand and everything else. You have the freedom to get up and walk away from this microphone or that microphone or any microphone you're at anytime you want to. I got a radio show to do. Would you like to stay for it or?
Of course. Don't ask me a question like that. I have a right to my opinion.
All right, fine. But we have a radio show to do tonight, and we're going to get to that radio show. A couple of things. Well, there's a problem on X Factor. Not that that's interesting to me. The only thing that's interesting to me about those shows is that one of the guys that used to produce one of those shows, I think, is still inside in Mexico, having killed his wife. All right.
Yeah.
The six most important things Mark Zuckerberg revealed yesterday, I think that might be of educational to all of us. And a Connecticut slave gets a funeral 215 years after his death. That's kind of a fascinating tale in and of itself. We also want to talk more, as I got into a big, big thing on Facebook today. Man.
Oh, you and Facebook are a parent. Real pain in the ass.
Facebook today was blowing up over the whole, Obama thing. And I don't know what it is about Facebook. Maybe it's just the cats that follow me or something. I think that may be it. But everybody over there is such a bloody conservative. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not complaining about that. But what I am complaining about is the knee-jerk, I hate Obama stuff just starts to get boring after a while. Oh, did Obama say it? Yeah, well, then I hate him. And here's what he's doing wrong. And here's well, why don't you sit and listen? And everybody's take on this thing in the Middle East, dead wrong.
Well, how do you know that whether you're wrong or not?
I tell you right now, my thing, my side makes more freaking sense than the stuff that those guys are saying. All right, we're running late. We got to take a break here. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back and we'll try to kick it around here. Dr. Ron Tarner with some thoughts and feelings on the Syria, Russia, America, Obama, Putin thang. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. Online at philhenryshow.com. Online at facebook.com/. What is it? Phil Henry. And also Phil Henry fans. Woo. Here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Dr. Ron Tarner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado as we discuss, well, the situation vis-a-vis the Middle East. I don't know, you know, when we talk, not the Middle East, but Syria. I'm only doing these Syrian updates because there are people that I really believe, and I think it becomes a very destructive thing, Dr. Tarner. Where is Dr. Tarner?
Get on the line, too.
Okay. I think it's a very destructive thing if you let your ideology begin to dictate how you are going to see things. In other words, you're a scientist, and a scientist doesn't invent the theory first and then go and look for the facts to back that up, right?
That is absolutely right, Phil. You know, what a scientist is supposed to do is he is supposed to find the facts first and then look for whatever theory those facts will bring you. I will be the first one to admit that there are times in politics when that kind of thing happens. I don't think that this is the case here with Barack Obama. I think that President Obama is rushing America into a war.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you.
Oh, man.
I want to interrupt you, okay?
Go ahead.
You're a conservative, and
that does not mean that I revel in war.
No, but I'm telling you right now, it is amazing the 180 that people do. Conservatives who at one time believed that armed intervention in the Middle East was something that was long overdue. There was widespread support for the war in Iraq, widespread support, and still is for the military action in Afghanistan. But all of a sudden now everybody is a peacenik over on the Republican side. When did that? I don't understand that.
What do you mean everyone's a peacenik? I saw what President Obama was doing. He went and he talked to a man by the name of Vladimir Putin. Do you know who this man is?
Yeah, he's the head of Russia.
Well, he's the head of he's not running a company. He's the president, duly chosen by the people.
Okay.
What's with the okay?
Well, it sounds to me like you're getting ready to rehabilitate this guy because there wasn't too long ago that Putin was the face of the KGB. Wasn't that what's-his-face said? John McCain?
Well, I don't know John McCain. Who knows what he's talking about for one minute to the next? Putin is a man who runs a country. KGB or not, he's looking for a way out that is a peaceful way that is going to be peaceful, you know. And
yeah, see how you're kind of struggling.
Can I finish, please?
Go ahead, but you're struggling with this whole idea of peace. You know, hi, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, but no, I'm about peace. And Obama's a warmonger. And
well, you know, let me say this, Phil. He's getting slapped around. Well, he's not getting slapped around by Putin.
No, he's not getting slapped around. See, that was the thing. No,
Phil, why don't you let people talk? Is this your little soapbox?
You know, Margaret, I was telling him that. You know, I was telling him that before the show.
All right, is this about me again? Are we going to make this about me again?
Well, I'm saying you got to let people talk, you know.
I guess I'm butting in because I want to keep it going. You know, that's all.
Oh, I see. Because I'm boring?
No, you're not boring.
But?
You're not boring, but I got to keep the thing... What are you saying? You're saying what? Go ahead. I'll let you have the floor. You can...
Well, you know, Phil, you say I can have the floor, but you bring a mop and a bucket out for me. So when you tell people they have the floor, you're also saying, well, by the way, as long as you're there, why don't you clean it up and underneath the baseboard there, yeah, that's it. Get in there good deep, because there's gum and filth. Okay, so...
I had no idea you resented me that much.
I don't resent you. What I resent is you saying you can have the floor, and you've given me a moppet and a buck.
A moppet and a buck?
I mean a bucket and a mop.
He misspoke, Phil.
All right.
God, being so petty about it.
I thought I heard you say a moppet and a buck.
What's that mean? You mean a bucket and a mop?
I misspoke. Don't be so petty about it.
In any event, I'm really trying hard, Phil, not to hate you right now. I'm really trying...
What is everybody's problem tonight? Let's just stop. What is everyone's problem tonight?
I ain't got a problem. Well, I mean, you're not letting people talk, and you got a chip on your shoulder about everything, too.
I agree with Robert. You have a chip on your shoulder. You're ready to see people go... This thing that has happened inside radio, and Ron, do you know what's going on?
Well, I've heard a little bit about it.
Yeah, Phil is loving it. He's like Nero fiddling while the entire thing burns to the ground. I've never seen a man's eyes light up at the prospect of someone being gutted alive on the torturing tables of Torquemada, and yet...
Come on, will you? I'm not doing anything like that.
Well, Phil, the word is that you're really enjoying the misfortunes of certain people.
I'm not enjoying the misfortune of anybody. I've made that very, very clear. I'm not enjoying it at all. There's a company, ladies and gentlemen, in our industry that is burning to the ground as we speak. I say that figuratively, through mismanagement and through gross mismanagement. And yes, that's all true. Do I revel in that? Am I glorying? No, I do not. I feel bad. In fact, I was surprised at how bad I felt.
You see, he's taking the chance to talk about himself anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry I brought it up, Phil, because I understand it.
Well, you guys did, but you did bring it up.
Yes, but now you're going on about your life.
No, I'm letting the audience know what it is you guys are saying. To say that I'm reveling in it like I'm enjoying somebody on the rack of Torquemada.
I didn't say the rack. And why did you tell people who Torquemada is?
Yeah, nobody knows what it is.
Well, then why did you bring it up? And if you brought it up, why didn't you tell people?
Because you're the host of the show, Phil.
Yeah, you're the host of the show. You ought to know Torquemada is and all that.
What?
Torquemada?
It's not Dodo Mata, it's Torquemada. What a...
Torquemada, folks, so I can get to the point here, was the Catholic prelate, the Catholic priest, if you will, the Catholic Archbishop of Spain or something, who led the Spanish Inquisition. He was the man who assigned people to the torture chambers and the racks and the Iron Maidens of the Spanish Inquisition. Torquemada's name became synonymous with torture, painful death, Inquisition.
And now your resentment over the Catholic Church is coming out. So, Phil, there's a lot. You've got a lot of issues.
No, okay.
Well, I think we ought to lay off of Phil, but I think your point is well made, Phil. If this guy Torque, whatever his name is, Torque, is that it?
Torque? No, it's Torquemada.
Well, I don't. How the hell am I supposed to know?
You know, he is a doctor, Phil.
Torquemada.
Torquemada. What is that, Spanish?
I guess it was Spanish back then.
Yeah, it sure has changed since those days, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, Buenos Dias and Chili Con Carne and all that. Like Torquemada, it sounds almost like it's Latin, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does, Dr. Turner. So what else?
All right, so what I'm saying is that Obama is now pushing the United States toward war. And you're saying that I have no right to say anything about that, because I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative. Well, I happen to like peace.
Yeah, you happen to like peace if the president that's pushing us toward war is a Democrat.
I think that's absolutely wrong, Phil. I don't think that's fair of you at all.
I think it's completely fair. I think it's completely fair. And I'll tell you something else about Obama. He goes back to Moscow, he sits down with Putin, and within a few days, Putin is on a phone to Syria, and he's asking, can you guys give up the chemical weapons? There is no doubt in my mind, and if anybody is really, really wants to exercise their brain just a little bit, this isn't anything that's going to be all that crazy. There isn't a doubt in my mind that Obama's threat of force got Putin on the phone with Syria and got Syria to sit down and start thinking seriously about what the hell it is they're going to do with all of those chemical weapons that they say they don't have. So put that one in your pipe and...
Put that bee in your bonnet and smoke on it.
Yeah, that's right. Put that bee in your bonnet and smoke on it. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445 and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Backstage Pass gets you a live-streaming video of our show, and we show you a video of this hair thing every night. I have Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us. Dr. Tarner is at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. Dr. Tarner is an astronomer and is an astronomer of note, but we are talking about politics here tonight because he has been a part of a great many roundtables when it came to how science and politics interact. Particularly, Dr. Tarner, when it comes to the question of global climate change and the fact that, you believe very strongly in it, obviously.
Well, Phil, if I could interrupt you for a minute.
Go ahead.
I'm not even going to discuss global... I'm not going to discuss global climate change as something that, do you believe in it? I believe in it because, again, as you know, the scientific's overwhelming opinion is that to debate this is to debate whether the Earth, it's not even whether the Earth is round. We're well beyond the Flat Earth Society. It's to debate whether gravity is a physical force or elves and pixies, hold you down.
Well, it's not that bad.
Oh, no, it's every bit as bad. It's every bit as bad.
Now, I want to ask you something, Dr. Tarner.
Yes.
You're telling me that the global climate change debate is so ridiculous that it's the same thing as if I were to say that pixies and elves hold us down so that we don't float away instead of gravity.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. People who do not advocate on behalf of the global climate change, people who think it's a figment of someone's imagination, they believe that a banshee will come when they die and spirit them off to some Irish heaven somewhere, and
all right.
No! I'm going to finish what I'm saying because this has been on my chest for a long time. I want to finish.
Go ahead.
And that swamp gas is actually caused by pixies and elves. Once again,
swamp gas.
Yes, that lights up. So that's really what we're talking about. Now let's talk about this situation here vis-a-vis the Obama and Putin. When I was debating this global climate change in front of the United Nations, I thought I met some real dumbasses. Excuse my language, Phil, but this one beats all. Now, I'm not calling you dumb, but you're saying that Obama... Run that by me again.
I think everyone would benefit, Phil, if you told us what your theory is.
Yeah, run that by me again, Phil. I'll tell you what's wrong with it.
Yeah, okay, this is the way you guys do things.
What do you mean, you guys?
This is the way you guys do things. Let me hear your argument, and I'll tell you how it's wrong, because I don't really have an argument. My argument is simply this.
I've got an argument.
Oh, here's mine. When Obama went over there, and he sat down with Putin, and he told Putin what he was going to do, and Putin then sounded off to the press about how we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and he hard-assed it, and all of the gullible people here in the United States, i.e. conservatives, believe that, wow, he's really saying some bad stuff, and look at how he's bitch-slapping Obama. Meanwhile, Obama said the following thing. He said to him, we're going to exercise a military option. You want to get on board or not? If you have any influence with these people, I suggest you use it. Now, Kerry was overheard with an open microphone saying the only way they're going to save themselves from an attack is if they turn over all of these weapons. That's exactly the thing that Putin went down and proposed to the Syrians. There's not one thing that has happened in this process that says anybody got bitch-slapped other than Putin. Now, he has a big fat mouth, and he talks about how he sent a destroyer and a frigate, and I think one other ship there to the Eastern Mediterranean. And, man, the Russians are going to really kick some ass down there with those ships. We got a nuclear submarine arsenal that could blow the entire Middle East off the map if we ever really just got so sick and tired of the whole situation and decided to turn all of that into a glass factory. We could do that.
Well, isn't that a pleasant thought?
I'm just saying. You know, all these people that are impressed with Putin, impressed with what? Because he takes his shirt off when he goes fly fishing? I don't get it.
Well, okay, so what are you saying?
What am I saying? What didn't I say that you didn't understand?
You're saying that when Obama went over there, Putin pretty much ran him around.
No, he didn't. How do you figure Putin ran him around? What did Putin say to Obama that got Obama doing anything other than what Obama wanted to do? Obama made a statement that is absolutely, it's diplomacy 101. It was beautiful. He came back and he said, well, you know what? We'll give diplomacy a chance. We'll give peace. That's the thing you say, man, when you've got all of the cards. When you got all of the cards, you got the United States of America's military might backing you up, and Putin has got a military that is still recovering from the savaging that it took during the final years of the Cold War. And Obama says, you know what? We'll give it a chance. We'll give diplomacy a chance, sure. Why wouldn't he say that? Why wouldn't he say that? He's got everything to lose. If he goes in and he starts hitting Syria now without taking the diplomatic approach that everybody wants him to take, including all of these peace-loving conservatives all of a sudden, that really cracks me up. Man, I'm telling you, I got to laugh when I hear that. He's got nothing to lose there. Because now what are the conservatives going to say? He's not being tough enough?
Wait a minute. You know, I'm a conservative, and I don't like what you're saying there. You're saying to me that I don't believe in peace, but you're also saying I don't believe... I do believe in war.
Okay, then you would support Obama?
I don't support Obama, and here's why. He has been... And Margaret, feel free to jump in, or Bud. He has been...
Well, he has been making noises like he believes in peace. Now you're saying he's doing what? He's threatening Vladimir Putin with... What, extinction? Oh, yeah, sure.
No, he's not threatening with extinction. He's saying, this is what we're going to do. This is what we said we're going to do. We have every right to do it. He's in violation of international norms and international accords. You know, give me a break. I'm going to go before the United States Congress, and I'm going to ask for a vote on this. Now, maybe he hasn't met the president. The president's got bigger things to worry about with the Congress, not Putin. The Congress has got to back him up. He gets a vote of confidence from the Congress. I'm going to tell you right now, man, we will attack. It doesn't matter what Vladimir Putin says. And for people to start buying into this, I hate to say it, but the more I live in this country during the presidency of Barack Obama, the more I believe it's about the color of his skin.
Oh, my God.
Phil, that is wrong.
Oh, my God. Did you hear what... So you're saying that I'm a racist?
No, I'm not saying you're a racist. I'm saying all of this stuff gets bubbling up about Obama because, well, he's just kind of weird, man. He's black, and he's weird, and he's liberal, and he's not. And, gee, we're just not comfortable with this guy, with the whole Kenyan thing and his mom. And, you know, the cat has just been really weird for people. And everything he does, they suspect. And every movie makes, they suspect. And they don't like what he does here. And they don't like what he does there. And even if he does something that's really patriotic and really cool, they're finding fault with that. They call him a phony. I've never seen my country react so ridiculously to a president before.
Well, you're calling me a racist. I would tell you something.
I'm not calling you a racist. I'm saying, you guys with this flip-flopping on this thing. You know, you're a conservative. Margaret, you're a liberal. You guys are on the same side here.
I'll never be on the same side with Ron Turner. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. Ron knows that. I respect Ron, and I love him. But I hate his living guts when it comes to his politics.
Well, Margaret, I have a hard time believing you like me.
That was pretty strong.
No, Ron, I respect you, and I absolutely do like you, but I hate your living guts, and I hope you die with blood in your mouth because of your politics.
Will you say specifically by politics?
Yes.
You hope he dies with...
Well, don't... You know what she means.
No, I don't know what she means.
I have nothing but the greatest of respect for Ron Turner, but I believe that President Obama is overstepping... I believe that he is threatening war. I think, you know, Phil, you're going to laugh, and I know all of the people will laugh, but I remember a man by the name of John Lennon. So if you didn't like the song, Come Live By My Side, do-do-do-do-do, the changes.
Do you think you're going to come up with some lyrics for that anytime soon?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think you're going to come up with some lyrics for that anytime soon?
Here's what I'm going to come up with. Stick it up your...
Okay, watch it, all right?
Yeah, there you go. What a lady, huh? What a lady.
You know, I thank God that I was born a liberal.
Well, you know, I think you were born a liberal, Margaret. The way some people are born gay. I think it is an orientation.
Well, your orientation, I think, is conservative.
And gay? She was about to... All right, Phil, you know...
No, she wasn't about to say anything.
I want to say this. Obama is scary, you're right, but it's not because he's black. It's because...
Yeah?
Now, I want to... Here, this is the song, all right?
Yeah, go ahead and sing the song.
Oh, yeah, let's have Margaret interrupt this conversation with her song. Go ahead.
Oh, so you're saying I don't have the guts to say what I want to say?
I don't think you know what you want to say. I just made perfect sense to you. I just laid out the case that the United States holds all the cards, is pushing all the power buttons, is making a Putin dance to the tune. Putin can put all the press releases out there he wants. He just gave a big long interview. He took out an editorial opinion in the New York Times, man. Why do you think a guy does something like that? Because he doesn't care what people think? Because he's got all the power? Because he's jumping, he's got Obama jumping through hoops? Putin's out there trying to make his case because he's got nothing else. He's got to get world opinion behind him. He's got to try and rally American opinion. And he's doing a damn good job. Nice going, Mr. Conservative.
Wait a minute. You're saying the conservatives are buying into Putin.
That's right. Those are the guys that are really buying into this guy. Because they'll do anything. You guys will do anything to hate Obama.
Excuse me. I want to say this. All we are saying, come on, Robert.
Yeah.
Give peace a chance. All we are, and you remember that song, Ron? You know that.
Yes, I know it.
All right. All we are saying is, and then they went up. Give peace a chance. That was John Lennon's message. What have we done? We've taken it, and we have used it as a freshen napkin. Now, do you know what a freshen napkin is? Does anyone know what that is?
Look, Margaret...
No. Just that... I know you have to break.
I don't.
It was a product that was released some years ago as a way of wiping after you've wiped to freshen up. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And that's what we've done with that song.
Like it's a second... By the round two of toilet paper?
Yes, like it's round two of toilet paper.
Does it have some kind of chemical?
Yes, it's like a baby wipe. Oh, don't start giving the look, Phil.
All right, I won't give the look. We're going to take a break. World-famous Phil Henry Show. 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. It's a baby wipe that is a...
Don't play it back to me.
We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as Margaret will be singing. I think that's your debate style. Let's just break into song. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the, excuse me, every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we have moved up 3 hours. Dr. Ron Tarner is with us. We are talking, well, I thought we were talking about Syria and Putin and, you know, and I to be honest with you, it's only tangentially interesting to me because I can see this thing playing out. Man, I see it playing out very, very clearly.
Well, you know, Phil, some of us do not have your vision. You know.
Well, I'm not saying I'm a genius, but.
But you just see this more clearly than the rest of us.
You haven't said anything here, man, that makes any sense. All you're doing is exactly what I predicted you would do. You're going back and forth. You're saying, well, I don't like Obama, but I don't like the Russians. You're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place.
Phil, I want to say something right now. And is that David?
Yeah, I got David on the phone now.
What does he want?
No, I wanted to talk to him. You're making a strategic error, Phil. You're making a strategic. All right?
Uh-huh.
Why are you looking at me like that?
What's wrong?
He's giving me the look like I'm a midwife that just strangled his baby.
Oh, please.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you, Margaret, trying to figure out if you're real or not. You know?
No, I don't know. That's very insulting.
Strategic.
Oh, please. I'm trying to emphasize... Fine.
David's on the phone, huh? Dr. Tarner?
Yeah, Rod Tarner here.
Okay, hold on. David, what's up?
Well, here's what's up. And Margaret was going to tell you. I don't need to tell you that you still have, for the most part, a talk radio community out there that is governed by a conservative political philosophy. By you coming out and touting Obama like you usually do, you stand to lose the favor of a great many of the programming people in talk radio that are conservative. Now then, all right.
Okay, let's just cool it right there, okay?
Well, I'm not done. I've got a lot of things on it. First of all, I am going to be at the NAB next week. I'm going to be breaking bread with a lot of these guys. Now, Ron and Margaret and everybody that's listening, breaking bread is a term that's used in business. I'm sure it's used in the businesses of a lot of your listeners. But it means we're going to sit down and we're going to talk turkey. And that is a term that is used in business to mean we're going to sit down and talk business. So we're not going to break bread and then wrap it around turkey.
Right. Well, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, you want Dr. Turner understands, Phil?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, why?
What are you getting upset about? I think I'm talking to idiots tonight, just like I was talking to idiots last night. I think I don't think anything has improved from one day to the next.
What is idiotic about what I'm saying?
I've heard the term talk turkey and break bread. I know it means you're not going to sit down and wrap bread around. In other words, we're not going to have turkey sandwiches.
Exactly.
I know that.
All right, you know it. Does the whole audience, are you willing to vouch for the whole audience?
Bill, that is a very good point he's making. Perhaps the audience doesn't know.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I was willing to say on behalf of my audience, I think they know what it means. Nonetheless, continue.
All right, I will. And for those of you out there who know that I'm right and that Phil probably, you didn't know what breaking bread and talking turkey. Now, next week I'm going to be at the NAB. There's going to be a lot of conservative program directors and...
When you say conservative, are you talking about...
Will you let me finish, please?
No, when you say conservative, do you mean politically or do you mean programming philosophy?
I mean of conservative stations.
I do what he meant.
That's great. Go ahead.
And they're going to be saying, what's with Henry and all this Obama talk? They're going to think you went liberal, and I got to have something to say to them. What do I say?
I don't know. You're going to be talking turkey. Why don't you say, let's break some bread and talk some turkey?
That's very funny. You know, what happened to the guy up there that you don't want to mention his name on the air, but everyone knows who you're talking about? I hope the same thing happens to you. First you make millions, and then lose it all. So it'll take about 5 years, but I hope the same thing happens to you.
Guess what? It won't.
Is that right? Why not?
Because I've learned my lesson, man. I've learned my lesson. That will never happen to me. And there's just one way to keep that from happening.
What's that?
I'm not saying.
You don't even know, do you?
I do know, and I'm not saying.
Phil, that's dirty pool.
I don't give a damn if it's dirty pool. I'm not saying.
Well, this is Dr. Tartar. And,
I'm not saying. Thanks a lot, David. See you later. And see you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. David G. Hall, our vice president of syndication on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That always pisses people off. Don't give me the look. I know exactly how not to fall afoul of public sentiment and have what happened to our very dear friend happen to me. I know exactly how. And I will say, I'll say it next hour when we have Bob Green on. All right, so what I just heard David Hall say there is that I'm in big, big trouble if I don't start bashing Obama. You agree?
I think yes. I think that as long as talk radio continues to have this conservative viewpoint, even if Obama delivers a new age to America of learning, enlightenment, and peace, even if every... I'm going to say something really ridiculous, but I really believe this. If Barack Obama came up with a formula that extended, God forgive me, that extended the length of every man's penis by 3 inches, people would still hate him. The conservatives would still hate him.
Oh, for God's sake. Why don't you live in the real world for about 5 seconds, please? You know,
well, I mean, on the stark face of it, do you disagree with that?
On the stark face of what? That Barack Obama is going to come up with a formula that is going to extend the length. Am I allowed to say it?
You're quoting her.
Barack Obama is going to come up with a formula that will make every man's penis 3 inches longer.
Yes, and you'd still hate him.
I would hate him, because I don't hate him, but I would disagree with him. I would disagree with him.
You disagree with him what?
If it didn't. Is he giving the formula to people that only agree with him?
No, he's giving it to all the American people. He's the president. He came up with the formula. He found a way to fund it. He found a way to promote it. He shepherded it through. It's his baby. It's his project. It's his plan. It's his bill. And it made every man's penis 3 inches longer.
And I could still have the formula and still disagree with him.
I guess so.
Well, then, yeah, I would still disagree with him.
Would you find fault with the formula?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's what I think is about Barack Obama. I mean, the guy could come up with a...
Whoa, hold on. You didn't say anything about that.
Well, that's the insanity I'm talking about. He could come up with a formula that would do exactly what I just said, and people would find fault with it because it's Barack Obama.
I agree with that. And I also think that that is not so foolproof because there are men, and I'm not going to say anything because I'm not that kind of a woman, but there are men who don't need that kind of help. And I think you know what I mean.
Oh, she did the whole...
Just did sloppy jaw.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. I think you know what I mean.
Oh, so the men that don't need that help, huh?
That's true.
All right, well, I'll come up with some other magic thing that the president, did. Anyway, thank you very much, Ron Turner. And we're back with Robert Greene next hour to discuss the Facebook, to discuss Mark Zuckerberg and some of the comments that he gave to a reporter that Twitter is about to offer publicly. They have an IPO that's on the just in the offing, if you will. So there's a lot happening in the world of social media, in new tech, high tech, and we'll talk about it next hour. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Next week, I'm at the NAB in Orlando, Florida. We are also going to be appearing live at the LA Podfest October the 5th in Los Angeles. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And just let me tell you that a $9.99 backstage pass, you get to take a look at what goes on behind the scenes. And I've been having some juicy conversations here with our close personal friends, both here in California and at the master control mother-father computer in what we affectionately call the district.
Well, Phil, I don't think that's right.
What don't you think is right? Let me tell you something. We've got some fantastic behind-the-scenes stuff we've been talking about. I will not let it out here on the air, only to say one thing.
Dad, tell a story about that guy named Weaverman.
Weaverman?
You talking about Rick Weaver?
No, we were talking about Rick Weaver. Rick Weaver, and then we have a guest, and I'd like to get the guest on as quickly as possible. Bob Greene is going to join us to discuss the some of the comments of Mark Zuckerberg and as well as the public offering of Twitter, which I think is going to be, that's going to be a fascinating thing to watch because those of us who remember the IPO of Facebook, you remember Facebook overshot the price and they spent the next year and a half trying to get back up to that $36 opening price they thought they'd have. In any event, it's not going to be a Wall Street thing, okay?
Excuse me for just a minute. I'm sorry, Phil, but I'm not going to repress that.
Dad, you belched on the air?
Yes, what do you think she does? She does it all the time.
Don't call me she. I belched because I'm not going to suppress the gas that goes back into the duodenal thing. You know, the duodenal, I don't know what it's called.
The duodenal?
Never mind.
What, are you going to light up a Roytan or something?
No, Phil, I'm going to call your bluff. I'm going to sit right here and, yes, may I light up a Roytan?
Go ahead. Go ahead. It doesn't bother me.
Will you quit smoking?
I know. I quit smoking. I don't care. Roy Tanner, those White Owls. Why do you smoke? I just want to... Yeah, no offense. Why do you smoke turds, though? Why don't you...
turds.
I do not smoke turds.
Why don't you smoke some good leaf? You know, some of that Cuban leaf.
Let me tell you about the Cuban leaf. It's grown in the Dominican Republic, smart boy. It may be Cuban leaf, but it's not in Cuban soil. It's Dominican soil.
What difference does it make? You know,
it makes a lot of difference. Talk to the men that know. So I'm not about to smoke any of that Cuban ragweed that is grown in the Dominican, whatever it's called.
Dominican Republic.
Yes. I'll smoke Cuban when the leaf is grown in the Cuban dirt. Now, where are those White Owls?
Good God, White Owl. You smoke turds.
You know what, Phil? I got a turd for them.
Oh, man. Did you know what she said?
I didn't say it.
Yeah, well, you almost said it.
Yeah, she said, I got a turd for you to smoke.
You filthy...
Hey, watch it.
Everyone knows what that means.
No, not every... He didn't say it.
He said turd smoker.
That doesn't... Man, I'm telling you, you guys, you know...
Well, I didn't say anything bad.
I know you didn't.
Who's got a lighter? You. Hey, you. Give me a lighter.
Call me you, man. I'm not you.
I'm sorry, Robert. Give me a lighter.
Don't be ordering people around.
Oh, not this infrared. This is the gayest. Give me a lighter that's got fire, please.
Margaret, why don't you go out and find a lighter out there, okay?
Boy, look at... Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Henry is holding the news copy in front of him like he's a little girl that just got out of the shower and a boy walked in. Ooh!
I was.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. I instinctively held the news copy in front of me like I was naked. She got all butch on me.
Well, she's out that mountain now trying to find fire.
Don't burn anything down, okay?
Watch me.
Yeah. She's smoking White Owls. She's sitting there smoking Roytan. Next thing you know, go out after the show, bud, and get a big box of Dutch Masters.
What are those?
Cigars.
What are you going to do about a turd smoke?
I ain't going to say nothing about that, okay? She didn't say the thing that she could have said.
You mean poke?
Never mind.
All right, world famous Phil Henry, I was about to say the world headquarters. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit flustered. So I wanted to, this is an example of what I mean, guys, and this is a great thing. And then we'll move to Robert Greene. Now get a load of this. Rick Weaver was the play-by-play man of the Miami Dolphins on radio for years. One of the greatest play-by-play guys in sports history. Fantastic. Just outstanding. You know, you think about we're talking about football play-by-play is its own thing. It's not baseball. It's football. There isn't the storytelling that you have in baseball. There is a specificity. There is a... It's almost like it's basketball, maybe slower. There's a far wider ranging topic than any of the other sports, football. You've got defense, offense, the personnel itself, all kinds of stuff, the history of the game. Weaver was right up there with the Bill Kings of the world, you name it. Rick Weaver was about to also do the Fort Lauderdale Striker soccer games. This was part of the package or the deal that they'd signed him to. I think at the time, the Joe Robbie family that owned the Miami Dolphins also owned the Fort Lauderdale Strikers, a soccer team. And so they had Rick. They said, hey, Rick, you know, during the spring months, which is when the soccer was being played, would you do the soccer games on radio? I said, sure, of course. Not for free. You know, you guys are going to have to kick in, and I mean heavy. I mean, almost bankrupt your family. Is that okay? Yeah, sure, Rick, anything for you. You got it. No, he didn't say that.
Well, they pay him a lot.
I'm sure Rick Weaver got a lot of money. Anyway, the point that I'm making here is one day Rick Weaver went up into that Fort Lauderdale Striker broadcast booth to do the game, and the equipment had failed at the site. The ISDN line that we talk about so much, it failed. So all of the equipment was of no use. They had to use a regular phone line. And I talked to the engineer who had the job of handing to Rick Weaver one of the great broadcasters in the history of sports, handing him a telephone over which he had to do a whole soccer broadcast for radio.
Is that bad?
Yeah, that's bad, man. Yeah, that's bad. If you got to sit there and do the game on a telephone, yeah.
Wow. Wow. I bet you that guy crapped a green brick.
Who, the engineer?
No, Rick Weaver.
Rick Weaver ain't crapping a green brick. It's the guy that gave him the... What do you mean... Weaver did the game, but here's the point that I'm making. Weaver did that whole game. He did it professionally like he always did. He did it phenomenally. He did it like the champ that he is, and he didn't say a word, which is something that it's taken me my whole career to learn. He didn't say a word. He did it, and because the old-timers, man, those guys were trained way better. They didn't have, they weren't self-indulgent like our generation. They didn't want to tell everybody their feelings. They didn't want to just let it all spill out. You know, they were super solid pros. Weaver did the whole game. They signed off, and then he let him have it.
So he yelled at the engineer.
Oh, yeah. He let everybody have it. He let everybody have it. And he said, that is absolutely, you don't even know what you're asking a man to do when you tell me to do the whole damn game on a telephone. What the hell, what kind of operation is this? You know, he embarrassed them, as well he should have. But the point that I'm making here is that's a pro. That's the kind of professional in broadcasting that I admire. The rest... They can all pound sand, man, you know.
You got a lot of people asking about what pound sand means.
Are you guys listening to me?
Well, talking about pounding sand.
I only said pound sand one time.
Phil, where are the matches that I brought from Knott's Berry Farm?
Okay, let's take a break.
No, I'm sorry, do you know?
Yeah, they're upstairs in that kitchen. Matches from Knott's Berry Farm, pound sand, so nobody listened to anything that I said. That's great.
Yeah, we did. You're talking about Weaverman.
Yeah.
His name ain't Weaverman. It's Rick So anyway, folks, it's been really great knowing you. I think I quit.
Really?
No. We'll be back with Robert Greene here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bob Greene talking with us about the economy, about the companies that are moving and grooving, baby. Facebook and now Twitter with an IPO scheduled very, very soon. Twitter says it's filed a confidential IPO registration with the United States of America. We'll be right back. PhilHenryShow.com. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com each and every night here until 10 on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, funny is her very dear, close, personal friend and sis, and sista, and bruh. And we have Robert Greene from Fraser Foods on the line with us. I know, I didn't make any sense what I said. Robert Greene with us.
Yeah, Phil, you said bra. I know what you mean by bra, but it's good to be with you, and always great to talk with you.
Bob, you guys still open?
Well, we have, we're not open, though, but we have a lot of stocking that's going on right now, so we brought in extra people. The summer months are winding down, and we're going to be restocking here for the fall months. We've got different produce. So we got we put a lot of people on here tonight, Phil, and we're working.
And are they there all night?
A lot of us will be here all night. I won't be. I've been here all day, and I'll probably leave later on. But some of the crew, third shift crew, will be here all night. And then we do this like once a year, maybe twice a year. Sometimes you just have to pull an all-nighter, and that's what we do.
Is this the one you were telling me about when you were having problems? It was during the Teamsters strike, and you were having problems getting supplied?
What specifically?
You said that you played the Chinese national anthem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were having problems with one supplier that was providing us with the Asian canned goods, some of the prepackaged Asian foods. And so when he came in with the, I asked the kids upstairs who run the PA, or I don't know what it was, some kind of a satellite, I said, put it on the channel where they have the Asian music, or I forget what she called it, world music.
Okay.
So when this guy came in with the supplies, I'd point to her, cue her, and you'd hear, you know, ding, 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 ding. I don't know how it goes.
Well, what is that, Robert, this is Margaret.
Yeah, my name's Robert, not Rob.
I said Robert.
All right. You know, that's my name. Don't wear it out.
You know what?
Margaret, ask your question, please.
Fine. What do you mean by Asian music?
I think I said, I'm sorry, Margaret, but I'm still a little frustrated after the last time I was on the program.
Let's just let all past appearances go, and let's start anew, start fresh, okay?
I'm willing to do that.
And I'm willing to do it. I just didn't want to listen to him talking about his hair system and this and that.
You called it a wig. It's a hair system. You know it's a hair system.
And that means it's your hair.
Yes, it is my hair. My hair. On top of my head. A hair system. It's not a wig. It's not a toupee.
All right. We've talked about that before. I don't want to go into it. Tell me about what happened there the morning that the guy was stocking the Asian food.
He came in as a guy by the name of Kevin Cho. Came in. I've known Kevin for many years. He is our supplier. And he's bringing this food in, and the Teamsters had been on strike, and he's having to bring his own truck in. He's doing it himself. He owns the company. And I said, Kevin, I really appreciate it. He said, hey, you know, we all got to do what we got to do. I was there, you know. And to make him feel at home, when he brought in the next, he brought in one pallet board full of some of the lobster and some of this, I don't know. I don't personally eat it. I can't go near that stuff. But
you like Chinese food, though.
Yeah, I like Chinese food, but this is beyond. You know, may I say...
Go ahead.
There's Chinese food that you get in a restaurant that is absolutely delicious, depending upon, of course, the restaurant that you like to go to. But then there's the Chinese food that the Chinese eat. And it's I don't even know how to describe it. There's an octopus.
Well, it's very... Yes, it's very ethnic.
Yeah, you said that right. And he comes in with his stuff, and I just said, you know... he says to me, hey, Bob, you know, or, you know, he's a very nice guy, Kevin Cho. He says, hey, Bob, you want to fly? You know how they do that?
Okay, I don't want any impressions. I was wondering your relationship with this guy in terms of his product.
Well, I'm not saying anything bad. I respect the guy.
I understand that, but you want to fly and all that? We don't need that, okay?
All right, I'm sorry. I don't mean anything racist about it.
No, I know that. I know you know the guy. Let's just get back to... So what happened with the music?
Well, when he came in, I said to Bernadette, who's the girl, she's always the one that starts the satellite music. I don't know how it works, but we have it in the store. I said, put it on the channel where they got the music. So in comes Kevin, and he's working hard, and he brought in this... And so the Asian music started.
And what does it sound like?
Don't try to bait me into anything having to do with the racism, man, because...
that's a good point, Margaret. All right, so you played this music.
Yeah, well, I mean, it goes... You know what Asian music sounds like. Or however it goes.
Yeah, you just did the stereotypical... That music is played in every John Wayne movie, wherever he is shooting Asians or Chinese. They always play that. It'll be, for instance, Phil, it'll be a Western song when you see John Wayne. As soon as he shoots the Chinese guy, it goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know?
Yeah, that is true, Mr. Henry. They always change it.
Oh, they don't change diddly squat. You're nuts.
I agree with Margaret. They do. They'll have regular music, and then when the Chinese guy gets shot, it'll go to, you know, it'll be like a gong.
Oh, get out of here. What do you mean a gong? Are you telling me that every time a Chinaman,
Okay, right there is proof.
That's what I'm talking about.
I didn't mean to say, are you telling me every time a Chinese guy gets dropped, they hit a gong? That's racist.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're right.
No. The way you're saying it, because I know it couldn't possibly...
All right, let's drop all of that, and let's get to what we really want to talk about here.
Why, because I'm winning the argument?
No, Bob, you're not winning anything. You sound more ridiculous with each passing minute with the whole do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And the fact that you played that for that poor man...
Oh, the poor guy. The poor guy had to listen to music that his ancestors have been listening to for 2,000 years, and all of a sudden, that poor guy. I'm trying to make him feel at home. He brought in a pallet board with some god-awful octopus. You don't want to know what I had to look at. And I'm trying to make him feel better? That guy should have played I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy as he was bringing that food in, because my guys are the guys that have to stock that stuff.
Look, you carry that stuff in your store for people to buy, so it obviously benefits you as well as the man who is supplying it. The fact that you guys are having... the fact that you guys are having some fight, you know, over the how edible or how tasty that stuff is. So the cat's bringing in. I know exactly what you mean. I mean, I've been eating Chinese food like most of us have all of my life. And I live in a major American city where we have a so-called Chinatown, an Asian part of the city in downtown Los Angeles. So, man, I've been going down there and eating Chinese food and the seafood for the Chinese palate specifically. I can't take that stuff. I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? They got octopus.
But you know what? I'll tell you something else. It's the same thing like in Europe. There's food in Europe. I can't stomach it. You go to free. People talk about France, you know, and how marvelous their cooking is. Just a regular dish of like a seafood thing in France, you can't get it down, man. It's like snails and periwinkles. Man, I ain't going to eat that stuff.
Talk about periwinkle. The guy?
No, that's not a guy. Periwinkle is like a small snail.
A guy. Periwinkle. Have you thought about changing your name to Periwinkle, Mr. Henry?
That'd be pretty funny, Mr. Green, a guy being called a periwinkle.
Yeah, I think that's good. And
okay, that's real funny, guys. Now, we're moving along to the Twitter IPO. And Mark Zuckerberg, who sat and answered questions some questions posed to him by a variety of so-called... tech experts. Bob, I know that you monitored that, you and other business owners here in Southern California. What'd you take away from Mark Zuckerberg? Is quite the guy, isn't he?
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg's fine. He's fine. But the problem with Mark Zuckerberg is his product is it has a lot of holes in it. It has a lot of areas where a consumer can literally fall through the cracks and in a figurative sense, you can go sailing right down the old chute. at Facebook, and I've seen it happen. You can talk about things, for instance, as simple as the consumer using Facebook simply to meet people. And I'll give you an example of this. I don't think there's any secret. I've told you that I have, I date a lot of women, Phil. I've been divorced for 4 years, and I date a lot of women. That doesn't mean that I am a libertine or a guy that is has no morality, but I go out with a lot of women. I enjoy the company of women. I go out with a lot of women.
And you go out with a lot of women.
Well, Margaret, I'm saying something nice.
Well, when you say that you enjoy the company of women, are you saying you go out with a lot of women because they won't go out with you a second time?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Look, I'm well aware of the fact that you don't like me. Well, I've got a newsflash for you. I don't like you.
Doesn't bother me.
Okay, great. I don't like you at all. And I've said it to your face, and I'll say it to you now. I don't like you. I don't like the way you talk to me. I am a man with money, and I would appreciate it if...
All right, let's stop with the speech-making here. You two guys don't like each other. What's your point about Facebook?
And I don't like being interrupted like that, Phil.
I apologize, sir, but I gotta...
I understand you have to keep the thing moving, but she's sitting over there saying, well, why are you going out with all these... I go out with a lot of women because I like women, to use your way of talking, Miss Gray.
Oh, so now he's going to mock me.
Yeah, I think you need to be. I like women. That's what you do. Talking to people like they're hard of hearing, like they're sub-deaf mute, standing in the middle.
All right, okay. Hold on, Bob. I want you to come back, though, and tell me specifically what you heard in that conversation with Mark Zuckerberg that you... that you took away, that you liked, that you maybe didn't like, that gave you confidence. And I also want to hear what he has to say, Robert Greene, about the product, the Facebook product itself. It does have a lot of holes in it. If you're going to talk about social media, and people will rightfully say, you know something, there was a time when most of us didn't even know what social media was. So guys like Mark Zuckerberg introduced us to it. Well, yeah, that's true, but now we do know what it is. We do know its strengths. We do know what we want. We do know what we demand. So we know the product pretty well, and I would say that that does not necessarily bode well for guys like Mark Zuckerberg. Who knows? Who knows? He may be around as long as Sears. I'm sure that he will be in some way. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Bob Greene, coming up next with more of his thoughts. PhilHenryShow.com is our website, and we'll see you on the other side of the break. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I gotta, but...
Yeah, that's your fault.
I know. I was talking to CJ and just spaced. Anyway, welcome back to the break. I'm not saying that for any benefit that I will derive from the audience. I'm saying it for the very, very minuscule number of people that may be listening technically interested in the program. So I'm blowing minutes on end talking about, ooh, wow, we missed the break there. We weren't very tight there. So let's just all calm down, huh?
Phil, that is something that you're in charge of. You know, they could have had an engineer for you, but you're too cheap, you know.
Will you stop it with that sloppy jaw, whatever they're calling it?
That ain't sloppy jaw. It's just going.
What is this, too cheap?
You are. You could have had an engineer, but you decided to be cheap. And I'm sorry to put it that way.
Okay. Robert Greene joins us.
You're not offended.
Not really. I don't have time to listen to this horse dung, to be honest with you. Robert Greene, and I'm sorry to put it that way, but that's exactly what it is. Robert Greene joins us here from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Bob, the IPO of Twitter and Mark Zuckerberg, as he was giving this series of comments to...
Boy, I got to tell you something. I know what they mean. You suppressing a belch, man, it goes on forever.
Well, do you got to point it out, too?
When I'm looking at the Phil TV feed and you're like all...
You see what I'm saying, Phil? Everyone notices it. You might as well just let it rip.
No. No, thank you. And thank you very much for bringing it up, Bob.
Hey, don't blame me, all right? I'm waiting for the question, and I can hear you pushing a belch down. And, by the way, it's not your fault. Margaret's the one that started it, because when...
I've never worked anywhere where I've heard people talk about my gas.
You're the one that's out belching on the air.
Well, you guys got to get it moving here.
You're right.
You want to talk to me about Zuckerberg?
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg. Tell me what you took away from his series of comments.
Well, Phil, I'd like to think that it may be something that Mark Zuckerberg took away from me, because I had some concerns about his company. As a man, now I'm not talking as the owner of a major company myself, which is nowhere near as big as what Mark Zuckerberg has, but nonetheless, I'm a busy man. I use his service as a social networking site. That's exactly what it is. And I use his service to socially network up and to meet, yes, I'll say it, young women. And Margaret didn't allow me to answer this question fully when I said that I meet a lot of women and I go out with a lot of women, and the reason why is because I'm forced to by Zuckerberg and what he's constructed. Now, no, I don't believe that Mark Zuckerberg forces Robert Greene to date a lot of women, but his social service, his social satire, or his socially transmitted, network.
His social network, his social media.
Social media, that's what I'm looking for.
Socially transmitted? You were thinking of disease.
Well, Ms. Bray, when you date as many women as I do, disease is something that you are deathly afraid of. You are deathly afraid. If you want to make a joke out of it.
Well, no, I think you're making the joke, Bob.
How am I making a joke?
Social disease.
You think it's funny? I date a lot of women, and the first thing that I fear when I go to sleep at night after going out on a simple date, I fear disease. And I have no idea what I've introduced into my body.
When you say a simple date, have you had sexual contact?
I'm not going to answer that question. Boy, get a load of you. Hair on you.
Well, then what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of where I put it and if it got disease. If it got disease on it.
Well, get a load of the pear on me, and you don't want to answer that, but boy, you sure did get specific there.
No, I did. I didn't say penis. I apologize. I'm sounding as stupid as a lot of your guests.
Yeah, well, you are one of our guests, Bob, and right there, you sounded pretty stupid. Robert Greene is with us.
Hey, I didn't come on here to get abused, all right?
Bob, you need to answer some of these questions more specifically. When you said disease, naturally I'm going to ask you about it.
And I answered. I said, when I go out with half of these women that I meet on Facebook, you better believe I'm worried about disease. And I don't even know what kind of disease what are we talking about? I would love to know what kind of disease.
What does that mean you'd like to know? Bob, this has got nothing to do with this IPO, okay?
No, it's not a Facebook IPO, my man. It's Twitter. Twitter, to use your friend's way of saying things.
His friend, huh?
I understand it's Twitter. I apologize. But what I'm saying is we are hardly talking about the technical aspects of either the IPO or the service itself.
Well, I think we are. We're talking about the usability of Facebook. I'm telling you that as a successful man, and that's what I am, I use Facebook as a way of meeting women. What has that gotten for me? A, I have to date a lot of them. For reasons I'll get into. B, I worry myself sick over what disease I might have... over what disease I might have got. And I'm not about to get into the sexual specifics.
No, but you just said to me, I worry about where I put it and if it got disease on it. Do you understand how utterly asinine that sounds?
It sounds very uneducated.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray. I didn't go to a four-year college like you. And when I got out of high school,
Well, we're not talking about your work experience, Bob. No one doubts that you worked your ass off, okay? And maybe you didn't have a chance to go to college. I'm not going to go there, all right? But the fact is, you are not very well-spoken when it comes to some of these things. And maybe you ought to just keep that information to yourself.
I didn't say a bad word, did I?
No, you didn't. But even saying the phrase, I didn't say a bad word, makes you sound very uneducated.
Yeah, Mr. Greene, you ought to probably not say about it or anything.
And talk about an idiot. Did you just hear that guy?
Bud's being nice, man. He's trying to give you some advice, you know?
Yeah, I'm talking about him being an idiot. At least he ain't saying stuff like, I got disease all over it.
I'm saying that I might have got disease. Well, if you don't want me to talk about it.
No, I'd rather that you didn't. So what is your problem with Facebook other than the fact that why do you have to date a lot of women?
I have to date a lot of women, and this is something that I was going to bring up to Zuckerberg. the way that you can use face, first of all, there should be a rule that women and men, but for my purposes, the women, must have a profile picture, and they're not allowed to use a pixie or the picture of a cartoon character or some, excuse me for saying this, some piece of you-know-what that someone said to her she looked like, and in point of fact, when you do meet her, she doesn't look anything like...
All right, so in other words, when people use a profile picture on Facebook and they use a picture that is not them, but it's of a sunset, you don't like that if it's a female?
How are you supposed to know? If I start talking to that lady and I go, hey, I'm Bob Green, a lot of them will say, well, I heard you on the Phil Henry Show or something like that. And I go, yeah, you know, and my picture's right there. You can see me. I'm not hiding from anything. I mean, I have used pictures of my sons.
All right, well, what's the difference?
Why would you use... See, that's just as dishonest.
No, it's not. First of all, I've got a lot. I got $25 million. Does that get anybody's attention? I just noticed everybody got quiet when I said that. Okay?
That's not all that much. You got $25 million. Good for you.
Oh, it's not all that much. Well, I'm so sorry that it doesn't meet to your approval.
It obviously would impress a lot of women, yes.
All right. So that's my picture, Ms. Gray. To be perfectly honest with you, I put a bundle of cash. That's my profile picture there. You want to see? You want to see what I look like? I had a girl ask me that. What do you look like? I go, here, this is what I look like. And she even said, don't send me, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, Phil, but she said to me, I don't want you to send a picture of your, you know what, ha, ha, ha. And I said, does that mean you really do want it? And she said, yeah, I do. So guess what I sent her?
A picture of money.
That's right. I said, here you go. This is a picture of Bob Jr. And I sent a stack tied together of Ulysses S. Grant. Okay?
What's that?
That's the guy on a $100 bill, ain't it?
I don't know. I have no idea who's on a $100 bill.
It's Benjamin Franklin.
No, it isn't. Benjamin Franklin's on a 50.
Yeah, Benjamin Franklin on a 50 on a $100 bill is Phil Grant.
Well, are you people telling me? I'm the guy that sent the $100 bills. I know what picture's on it. And I said, there you go, there's Bob Jr. And she was all, you're going to send me a picture of your you-know-what. I think I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to send it to the cops, ha, 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 and all this stuff. I said, yeah, okay. And when she got that picture of that stack of cash, it was all of a sudden we're on to, so when do you want to pick me up?
Okay.
So I picked her up at 8 o'clock on a Friday night. I was going to take her down to Newport Beach. We're going to have dinner down there at one of the places on the water. She had a beautiful face, gorgeous face. And that's about it. And that's what I got the picture of, and that's what she was. Because from the neck south, it was really more of a logistical.
She was fat.
I didn't say that.
Well, okay. So in other words, she didn't have the body.
I'm saying, Phil, that if you're Mark Zuckerberg and you are running a con game on the Bachelors of America saying, hey, look at this, and here's a place to socially network, and I send her a picture of what I got, she sends me her face, and then I see from the neck down, it's really, you said, all I saw was Moo-Moo. I saw Moo-Moo, and I saw a thick sweater, and I could tell by the reinforced shoes, there was trouble.
What is that?
Oh, she was wearing a thick-soled shoe?
Yeah.
Probably the support she needed.
Yeah. When you see a woman wearing a sole that's about 5 inches thick, you know it's got to carry a lot. There's a lot that sole has got to do.
I can hear you laughing, Bob.
I'm not laughing. I'm laughing. I thought I was going to cry myself to sleep the other night.
All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and talk more, obviously not about the Twitter IPO.
Well, Phil, you're letting him take it there.
I think that's pretty interesting on how...
Take it easy, bud. Okay, just relax. We'll be back with Robert Greene and talk more about the series of comments made by Mark Zuckerberg to a variety of magazines and technical journals concerning the progress that Facebook has made. And as I mentioned, Twitter is now getting ready to go and offer publicly. So it's a very, very interesting time here in American business. The world-famous Phil Henry Show at 855-500-7445. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Robert Greene joining us here from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Though my understanding is you guys have moved down the street to the pool hall area, Bob. And you know, if you're like me, I guess I like to relax around a pool table. Is that what you guys are doing right now?
Yeah, so we have. As a matter of fact, this is a place called Snookies. We named it after the game of snooker. And we come here, I don't know, maybe a couple times. I like to shoot a game of pool. This is not snooker, it's billiards. And I'm reminded of the movie. Did you ever see the movie with Paul Newman, The Hustler?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they made a pretty good case in that movie as the difference between, what do you call it, snooker and billiards and pool. There was a guy in the movie played by Murray Hamilton.
Right, the Southern gentleman, and he wanted to play billiards, and there were no pockets?
Yeah, the table had no pockets. And Paul Newman's character had to sort of Paul Newman's character had to adapt. So sometimes I'll come in here and I'll run a little bit of a game on these guys. I think it's very funny, because you get a lot of guys in here that are 18, 19, and they think they know what they're doing, and I'll walk up to them and... you know, it's a game you learn from, as far as we're talking about Facebook, and I'll say, excuse me, y'all, I'd love to play, you know, this kind of thing. And I play it like, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea, all right, but I play it a little bit like, you know, like I'm interested in them for more than just a game of snooker, you know, and...
What do you mean?
That's not very ethical.
I'm not going home with them. I'm acting like I'm gay.
Okay.
Well, if I'm saying something you don't want me to say.
I don't understand the point of the story. You know, you were talking about Facebook.
I'm talking about Facebook meeting women for women. Now I'm in a pool hall. What do you think I'm meeting the guys for? You don't think I'm meeting the guys because I want to go out with them. I'm meeting them to separate them from their money. And I don't want them to know that I'm Bob Greene, the owner of Fraser Foods, because they're going to know I got money, and they're going to bring every ringer and every pool sharp they can think of in there.
Okay. So you play it like you're stupid or something?
I play it like I'm a drunk gay. All right?
See, that is the most... That is bizarre, sick, twisted, unethical social behavior. I'm sorry.
Wait. Hold on. Is that any sicker than some woman who puts a picture of herself on Facebook and then when I meet her, there's a huge person? Is that any sicker, you know?
Bob, those are women that are, they're not trying to con you. Yes, they may be overweight. Do you want them to put a big pic up, the whole picture of themselves?
I would appreciate it, yes. I think a lot of guys would.
Do you know anything about photography? If you do that... Then the head is very, very small. You don't even see her face because the entire, well...
The entire what?
The entire body is so huge that the head becomes us.
Well, look, man, that's their problem. I mean, if you want to be big and you want to get your picture on Facebook, hire a photographic lab that can somehow cover the expanse.
I can't believe you guys are talking like this.
Why?
Oh, give me a break. A woman's so fat you can't see her head. You got to take a shot from a wide-angle lens. What we're talking about here is the use of Facebook as a social media page to meet people. You started talking here moments ago, Bob, as we were coming back from the break, about going into pool halls and playing guys in games of pool or billiards or whatever the hell you're playing. And the whole reason for this was so that you could separate them from their money.
Well, Phil, that's what you do.
I understand that, but going in and pretending you're gay.
Phil,
That's the guy from The Hustler, right?
That's what I said, yeah. And if you've seen the movie The Hustler, you know that the guy, Murray Hamilton's character, he says, y'all want to go down and play a billiard game? I mean, I've worked on it, and a couple of the people at the Jim Johnson and Josh Jeffries, they think it's funny at the store. And I'll do that. We'll be stocking the shelves, or we're in the produce section. I'll say, yo, you know, and they'll say, hey, Bob, why don't you do the pool player? I play billiards, y'all. My, don't you look nice in those pants, or whatever they say.
Okay, and what's the point of this?
I don't like the tone of your voice, Phil, when you ask that.
Well, I don't like the tone of what you're saying to me, man. It is really weird. It's just really weird.
What is weird about it?
Bob, let me explain. You're talking about conning young men in pool games. We were going to talk about Facebook.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Facebook.
Facebook. You're talking about being in a pool hall.
Hey. Back it down a little bit, if you don't mind, Phil.
I apologize. You're talking about a pool hall.
That's right. And a pool hall is the social networking site of guys. Is there a problem with that?
Oh, okay. Is that where guys meet guys?
No, that's where guys... Oh, wow. You really are pushing it, aren't you?
Well, is that where you go to meet women?
No, there's only guys in there.
So what do you mean social networking?
So I can take a few bucks home.
I guess one of the things I'm having a problem with, and it just occurred to me, why do you need to take a few bucks home?
I like the challenge of the game. I like the action. I like playing pool, and I don't like playing pool for nothing. Good God Almighty, you play pool? Would you play for nothing?
I play sometimes, but, you know...
Yeah, but most of the time for money, right?
Yeah.
All right. I go in there, and I got that act from the guy from The Hustler, and you're giving me a hard time like I'm a homophobe. I don't beat anybody up. I've gotten my ass kicked a few times. Because I'm looking to get a good game going. This guy says, come on back to my house, my pool table. I got my ass kicked.
You're kidding. He just got you out to the car and beat you up.
Yeah, he beat me up. Because he thought I... What I did was... See, I... You want me to be honest with you, but you won't be honest with me.
What happened? You got beat up by a guy?
Yes.
This, I know what happened. He went for the zipper.
You went for the zipper?
I was playing... Was I not playing a gay guy? So I go for this guy's zipper because I figure he wants me to make it real. And he kicks the crap out of me. And I said something, you know, y'all, I guess y'all don't want to play pool now, y'all, do you? And he pushed me out of the car. They were going about 40 miles an hour down Sierra Madre Boulevard. Yeah, that's real funny, Phil, unless you're the guy getting thrown out of the car.
You know, I don't believe. I don't.
I'm having a hard time believing this, too.
All right, good. I'm glad you don't believe it. It didn't happen.
No, I bet you it did happen. I know you well enough to know. What has this got to do with Facebook?
I just got done telling you that...
No, you haven't told me one thing that relates to Facebook. You pretend you're gay, you go to a pool hall, you're shooting pool with these guys, you go for a guy's zipper. What is it with you, man? Is this the kicks that rich guys get? This is what you do when you get bored?
No, it's what I do when I want a pool game.
Then go down and play pool with these guys.
They won't play with me because they think I'm good and they know I'm good. If I pretend like I'm... You know, hey, honey, why don't you, look at them, three-inch heels on those cowboy boots, something. And then I'll say, how about a game of pool?
You know, I got to tell you, you're as weird as they get, Bob. And it reminds me of the story I read about Richard Kuklinski, who was the famous mafia hitman who recently died in prison. Richard Kuklinski, there's a movie out about him. Richard Kuklinski, it is alleged, pretended he was gay at one point. During a hit, he had to go into a club, and he was going to kill a guy in a club, and so he went in there in some kind of a pink sweater, and if you can imagine, if you've ever seen Richard Kuklinski, he's a big guy.
Well, that's the man, yeah, the Iceman.
The Iceman, yeah, he pretended he was gay, he danced into this club, and he did whatever the hell it was that he had to do. It was just, but Bob Green hits a whole new height, man, for weird ass, I'm telling you. All right, folks, stick around. We've got more to come here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. 855-500-7445. Coming back here, we got Jeff Dowder. We also have R.C. Collins to comment with us and Justin McElroy from L.A. Canyon High School coming up as well. The Phil Henry Show. Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. That's groovy, man. That's
Kanye West. They just had a baby.
Oh, they just had a baby. Anyway, Kanye West there with black skinhead. So that's. And welcome back to our program.
I think that's the kid.
Oh, that's the kid. Anyway, I'm joking around there, Kanye and your lady Kim. Good job. Way to do it. Way to knock it out of the park. All right. I was going to mention something about reality shows. I forget now. There are any number of them, and as reality shows go, you know they are what they are. I mean they're sort of rehearsed, as we've often said. But the Kardashians, man, they whatever it takes to make one of those shows go, they got it. They got it.
Well, a lot of people think it's because the Kardashians are so degenerate, so wonderfully degenerate. But you know what I like about the Kardashians? They always invoke God. They believe that God is great. That, yes, they're wealthy, but isn't God wonderful? I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I think there's something about invoking God and your wealth. You know, if I'm poor and I and things aren't going good, and there's a rich guy saying, "Man, God sure is groovy," my thought will be the following thing: they must be really good people if God's giving, like the Kardashians. They always talk about how great God is.
Yeah, well, God, talk about God. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, bud. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but if I'm the Kardashians and I'm talking about how great God is and I'm rich, and then I'm some schlub who's poor, and I look at it, I go, well, wow, the Kardashians must be making God happy, doing good things. You know, God digs them. And what is that, you know?
Well, they are being very, you know, they love their family.
Great. Okay. But put that one in their plus column. What else?
Phil, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I mean, if you're asking me why does God reward people, I don't know.
I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm not even making the statement that I believe in God. I'm just wondering, for those people that do believe in God, and the Kardashians are saying that God is so groovy and God did all this for me.
Yeah, well, God did a lot of stuff for them. And then also, too, they did bad stuff.
Well, what bad stuff? Whatever bad stuff they did, man, is outweighed by the good stuff that they did.
Well, you look at Kim Kardashian walking around with a big butt, you know.
And God lets her get away with that. And I'm not trying to be funny either. I'm saying that any other woman with excuse my language, ladies, and if there are children in the room, I'd ask them to leave. Phil, would you do that?
Well, why can't you? You're the one.
Would you do that?
If you have children in the room, would you ask them to leave? Okay?
Yes, thank you. What I'm saying to the ladies is, if your ass is that big, you have to conclude, you must conclude, that God finds grievous fault with your life and what and who you are. I know I would. If I woke up and my ass looked like that, I would think that God was very displeased with me and that he was getting ready to send me to hell, to the horned one.
With the big ass and everything, huh?
I'm not making a joke here, Phil.
I understand, but I must say, there are a lot of men that find, with the big ass on Kim Kardashian, some guys think that that's very attractive.
Yeah, the kind of men that think, I'm sorry for saying this, but the kind of men that thinks that Kim Kardashian's rear end is attractive, they're degenerates, all right? And they've got one thing on their mind, and I know you're one of them, Phil, and so don't even go there with me. I'm talking about normal, healthy women. Look in the mirror. You get out of bed. You look in the mirror. Last night, you had a trim, tight little butt. And this morning...
It's huge.
It's a big yes. It's huge. God is punishing you.
What are you crying for? Margaret, why are you crying?
You don't understand.
What do you think, it's cancer? God, listen to her, will you?
Well, come on, Mr. Renner.
You don't understand. I say a novena every day. I praise...
So you wake up with a big ass.
Have you ever had leukemia? Have you ever had...
Excuse me. I mean, it doesn't sound to me like waking up... If you're a female and you wake up with a big ass...
The same thing, Mr. Henry, is that you might as well wake up with a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here before I throw you out. For you to even say something like that, I ought to kick your ass on principle alone.
Why?
A brain tumor.
Blah, 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 butt tumor.
Shut up, man. That's serious.
I'm going to shut up. Tell me to shut up.
Yeah, it's more likely she's got an ass tumor. What do you think of that?
So you think it's real funny, huh? Phil, if I woke up with an ass like that, and you know how much I love my husband and son, I'd walk into the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Would you, ladies and gentlemen, take note of the fact that Mr. Henry is laughing at the fact that I am contemplating suicide were I to have
Kim Kardashian's ass. You'd walk into the Pacific Ocean. Well, one good thing about having an ass like that, you wouldn't sink. Probably acts like a damn life preserver. What are you guys getting all serious for? Why is everybody serious?
Dude, let's talk about God.
Let me tell you something about God. I believe the following thing. I believe what Thomas More said. Thomas More said, if you do your conscience, you will go to heaven. And remember what he said to these bishops? He said, if I do not do my conscience, I do not do my conscience, and I sign an oath of allegiance to King Henry VIII. And you do your conscience and sign an oath of allegiance to Henry VIII. I go to hell, and you go to heaven.
What?
I don't know. That sounded really good, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mr. Phil Henry with a hell, going to hell with Thomas Moore. Hey.
Thank you. All right, bud, that's enough.
All right.
We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Justin McElroy, Jeff Dowder, R.C. Collins, and a whole lot more here as we continue on for this Thursday night. Our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We're going to be at the L.A. Podcast Festival. That is going to be on October the 5th, and that ought to be a hoot. That ought to be a hoot and a half, baby. And it will be a Bobby Dooley podcast. So if you've never seen Bobby in action as she interviews some of the great stars of our time... And Bobby has interviewed the likes of Henry Rollins. She's interviewed the likes of Patty Arquette. She's interviewed the likes of Chris D'Elia, and Joel McHale, Sugar Ray Leonard. That's been some of the great names in all of entertainment. And Bobby will be interviewing yet another there at the L.A. Podcast Festival. So join us out there for that next week at the NAB. Oh, and coming up this weekend, and we also are going to talk this hour with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell, it is almost the NFL Game of the Week. Almost the NFL Game of the Week with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell debuting Sunday on Phil TV. Audio only, but it will be carried audio on Phil TV this Sunday. Back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Justin McElroy is going to be joining us here in a second. Justin's doing a paper. I've always find it interesting because as a pops, you know, at one time of high school students, it was always interesting to know what the kids were involved in terms of study. And I never really had too many conversations with the kids where they were saying, well, there's this really heavy project we're doing and this and that and this and that. Obviously, there were things that came to my attention. For instance, we had a conversation with a biology teacher who, while teaching evolution, was himself a creationist.
Oh, I would not stand for that.
No. Hold on for a minute. A man's entitled to have his opinions. He did teach evolution, and he did teach the standard by which a high school student, at least in the state of California, I don't know about the rest of the country, I'm sure it's the same, qualifies for entry into a University of California campus. You have to have a certain number of subjects, and you have to have covered them thoroughly, and you can't be fooling around with creationism. I don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, it's always kind of... That was the most controversial thing that I think happened in high school. And I actually called the guy. You know... I was a real pain in the ass as a dad, and I've learned so much.
Well, what do you think? Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm being big Papa Bear. I should have let Maria take care of it, you know? They were my stepkids. But I did. I called him. I said, now, you know, I'm on the phone with the guy. The guy was very, very nice man. Very nice man. He was a Christian, and he believed what he believed. Justin McElroy from Canyon High School in L.A. Canyon High. So, Justin, how are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing really good this year.
And what is happening with your schooling?
Well, we wanted to, you mentioned for me to come on and talk about the Golden Triangle on your program tonight.
Yeah, the Golden Triangle is something you're learning in biology, right?
Yeah, it's sort of it's famous because you can go online and you can look up the program. But the Golden Triangle is where your face needs to be. And what I'm trying to find out right now is the correct way to say it. And Mr. Schumacher, who's our biology teacher and is leading us through this, said about the Golden Triangle that your face needs to fit inside of the Golden Triangle.
Your face needs to fit inside. What is the Golden Triangle?
The Golden Triangle is a theoretical triangle of measurements that your face needs to fit into in order to be considered good looking or to be considered, you know, acceptable to, like, your opposite sex and everything.
Now, when you say acceptable, what exactly are we talking about? Is this a database of some kind?
Well, yeah. It turns out that down through the years of man being on the planet Earth, and anyway, your face has to have certain measurements in order for it to be considered handsome or pretty. And what the faces that have been considered handsome are have these measurements.
Okay, so down through the years, what we consider to be a handsome or beautiful person has a certain kind of a dimension.
Yes, sir.
To their face.
Yes, sir.
And what is the golden triangle? That space?
Yeah, it's the space in which the measurement of the face would fit. And I was getting ready to present my... we had a team, in fact, our senior class team, that in advance of the biology midterm, we had our senior class team, both boys, you know, male and female, and the females had volunteered for the golden triangle pad that we had created. And it was a kind of an entertaining way of presenting a paper, you know.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand.
Well, he got suspended, right?
Yeah, we got suspended.
You got suspended for what?
You tell about the golden triangle.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is Robert. Hey, Justin, man, I called you up today. You remember?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I remember. Robert, you were asking me about the gold triangle pad. I said I don't have any because the girls had them.
Yeah. See, the golden triangle pad, I called him up and said, you gotta explain what that is to Mr. Henry, otherwise he's not going to know. Okay?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, what is the golden triangle pad? Why are you suspended?
All right. In order for your face to fit into the golden triangle, if your face is good-looking enough...
Let's tell the audience, we're talking about biological factors, physiological, physiognomy. In other words, we're talking about the measurements between the eyes, correct?
Yes, sir, and also forehead and the width of the chin, things like that.
Okay. And all of these measurements fit within this golden triangle. That means that traditionally, based upon the data that we've amassed over the many thousands of years of what we consider to be a beautiful looking person or the beautiful visage of a human being, your face has to have a certain dimension.
Yes, sir. And what happened last week when we were going to present the golden triangle, myself and Ross Penson and Taylor McGee, we were going to use our faces to have them put into the golden triangle.
And you got suspended.
And we got suspended.
I don't understand, man. Why'd you get suspended?
Well, I mean, what we did was we sewed the golden triangle because, again, what we wanted to do is make it entertaining. And I had talked to my mom and I talked to my dad, and they said it was okay that we sewed a golden triangle into the, I guess you'd say, the crotch of three pairs of jeans that Mary McDonough, Susan Oliver, and her sister Terry would wear.
Yeah, so...
So in other words, these girls are wearing pants with a triangle at the crotch, and your faces have to fit into those. Shut up, bud.
Yes, sir.
Did you guys honestly think you were going to get away with this?
Well, Mr. Henry, first of all, we told the teacher we were going to do a humorous one.
Hold on. Do I have to break here, CJ? I'm sorry. CJ. Okay, I forgot whether we broke.
What do you mean, break?
I'm talking to my engineer. I'm talking to... Never mind, CJ. I'm talking to my engineer, okay? So you had your face... What? What are you telling me? Okay. You have your...
Mr. Henry, in order for your face to be qualified for the golden triangle...
What do you mean it's got to be qualified for the golden triangle?
Don't you understand? The guy's face got to fit in there.
I understand, bud. I'm talking to him, not you.
Well, yeah, but we did tell Mr. McMulder that it was going to be humorous to present it to the class in a humorous vein. And he had told us, whenever you make a presentation in my class, anyway, and Mr. McMulder said it, and my dad called him up and even asked him. And then my dad got off the phone. He goes, yeah, McMulder. And I go, see, Dad, see? And my dad still punish me.
Okay, so your father, even though he called up to take your side with this Mr. McMulder, got off the phone.
Yeah, he got off, and he knew that McMulder had said what he said, but my dad goes, well, still, you're going to be grounded and everything, and took the computer. My dad took out the computer keyboard and everything, but, well, I better not say.
Look, you know, I used to do that with my kids. Did you figure a way to use the computer?
No. No? How are you going to use it without a keyboard?
Well, R.C. Collins is going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. We're talking with Justin McElroy about the Golden Triangle. I thought it would be a very interesting topic because it has to do with the physical appearance of humans, and that we have been able to now take certain dimensions of the physical face, and you can actually put this into a computer program and come up with the exact dimensions that other humans find attractive, that a female might find attractive in a man or vice versa, or men in each other, women in each other. We've got enough information now where we can take those physical dimensions and fit them into what is called the Golden Triangle. Now, we get to your part of the story, which is totally juvenile, and I hope you understand that.
It is absolutely... I'm a mother. Justin, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a mother. If my son had done something like that and said, Mom, would you put on these pants?
I didn't ask my mom to do it.
Well, what I'm saying is, you didn't ask your mother?
No, I'm not going to ask my mother. There's only the only older women that you even, in my life, my mom's friends are very, very loose. You know, they act in a loose way. And you probably in your mind could see the Golden Triangle on their butt. But I would never do that because it's gross.
Yeah, let's quit talking about adult women, Margaret.
I'm just saying, how dare you? What do you think I'm saying?
Forget about the adult women. He's talking about his schoolmates, the girls his age, wearing pants. Who put this Golden Triangle on these pants?
We chalked it out. I mean... Mary McDonough put on the pants, and we had the yellow chalk, so she bent over. Well,
she bent over. She bent over what?
Well, it doesn't matter what you bend over.
She bent over, and you guys chalked it out?
Yeah, we took the dimensions of what the Golden Triangle would be on the butt, and we chalked it out on the butt.
Why are you guys using a girl's butt and crotch?
Because of the humor aspect of it, and what we told Mr. Bingmurphy.
All right. I understand your father is there, Justin. Is that right, Mr. McElroy? Is it Daryl McElroy?
Yeah.
May I speak with him?
Hi.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes, Mr. Henry. How are you?
Good. Your son's a good kid. He's been on our show before.
Well, Justin appreciates being on the program with you, and he's been punished by his mother and I, and he's very sorry. And I can tell you, though, that he has a great deal of respect for you, Mr. Henry. We get a kick out of listening to you.
Thank you very much, sir. Can you tell me what, you know, when Justin got punished for this and he told you that he'd been chalking out this, he had chalked out this triangle on this girl's butt, what did you do?
Well, we were fortunate enough to have the young lady. I happen to know the McDonoughs very well. They are friends of ours. We socialize with them. And we had the young lady over to the house. We had a couple of the kids here because we wanted to get to the bottom of it.
Could you hold on, sir?
I certainly can.
All right, that's Daryl McElroy, Justin's father, and we're talking to him about, we're talking about this Golden Triangle situation that was a biology assignment that got them kicked out because the Golden Triangle is something into which your face must fit, and they put a Golden Triangle on the butt and crotch of a pair of girls' jeans. You know, we'll be right back, Phil Henry Show. God.
Well, it serves you right, Phil.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the phone with us from Northern L.A. County is Justin McElroy. Justin is a high school senior, and he was a part of a project. It was a high school biology project that he'd been assigned, and that was to do research on something called the Golden Triangle. The Golden Ratio is what we've found since, but the kids are calling it the Golden Triangle. This is, as I've attempted to explain, it is a measurement, a biological measurement, a physiological measurement that... Bud, turn that off, please.
I'm sorry. It calms me.
I don't give a damn if it... What is with him?
Talk about calming him down.
It calms me down.
Well, isn't that not... Go into another room and listen to it.
What is the music? Well, that is very peaceful.
Will you turn that... What is it with you? Got all of a sudden got anxiety attacks or something?
No, I just thought it sounded cool. Okay, I'm ready.
I'm doing the show, see?
Yes, sir.
You're not doing the show.
Yeah,
whoa, 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 hold on. You're not doing the show, and you're not doing the show. You doing the show, Margaret?
Well, no, Phil,
But wait a minute. Then you don't just push any old button and play anything you want.
Well...
Yeah, that's how it is, man. I'm the guy that pushes the buttons. I play what I want to play.
I'm sorry.
I don't know where you guys are getting your head of steam here, but it better end, and it better end this week, or I will fire everybody and start all over again. Do you understand?
Yeah, but the guy...
Wait a minute. Do you understand? I'll fire you, you, and you, Margaret.
My husband is an attorney, Phil.
I couldn't care less if he's... I don't care if he's Solomon. I don't care if he's Solomon, king of the world... I'll fire you, too. The next time I hear anybody firing buttons off while I'm trying to say something...
It calms him down.
I don't care if it calms him down. It's driving me nuts. Do you want to be calm as you go to your grave?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then go ahead and play that, because it'll calm you down as I strangle you. Do you want that?
Mister, can I just say one thing, Phil? I don't want to be out of line.
Go ahead.
Well... He was talking about the other day that he got nervous, so doctor said play music. So that's what he's doing.
In the middle of my show, he's playing music.
Oh, you can hear that.
Yeah, I can hear it. It's in my headphones. You an idiot or something? Don't you understand that I can hear everything you're doing to the board? I can hear it right into my headphones.
But it ain't going on the air.
Yes, it is going on the air.
Oh, so that's how... That's the button there, bud, see?
Yeah. If you push this...
Don't touch that stuff, man. If it happens again, all three of you are fired.
Now, that's not fair. If he does something, why do I get fired?
Because I just want to do that. Because I'm cruel. Because I'm mean. Because I'm not fair.
And you admit it.
I admit it. I admit it before my audience. I'll fire all three of you if he hits one more button. All three of you go. Because I'm a cruel, mean man. And that's the way I like it. That's the way it's going to be. And I will laugh, and I'll sing, and I'll skip, and I'll giggle after I fire all three of you. Okay?
You'll laugh and skip and giggle.
Yes, laugh and skip and giggle.
You put that in writing?
No, I'm not going to put it in writing. You're just going to have to trust me that I'll laugh and skip and giggle. Justin, are you there?
Yes, sir. I recorded it, Mr. Henry, so...
Yeah, it's recorded. We've got a logger tape. So if I renege, you know, then you can go back to the tape and listen and hear me say that I'll laugh and skip and giggle.
Well, if you don't laugh and skip and if you don't laugh and giggle and skip,
yeah, what order?
Oh, come on, will you? All right. So in any event, back with Justin McElroy, you guys have got to be putting me on.
I'm just saying I have a tape of it. If you gaff and lip and skiggle, I mean
if I laugh and I skip and I skiggle. If I laugh...
If you stab...
You know, I've never worked with people that make me question my own species. In other words, I'm not even sure I'm human. I may be a dog. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't, Phil. I think that's very, very...
I think there's something wrong with you, Mr. Henry.
Well, maybe there is something wrong with me. I'm saying to you that I will staff...
And squiggle.
Giggle, not squiggle.
Yeah, that's what I've got. I've got it on the logger tape.
That's great. You got it on a logger tape. We've got it on tape here. I just said it. You've heard it a million times. I don't care if I did say skiggle. I'm going to giggle. And even if I do giggle and I'm skiggling, see?
What's that?
I don't know. As long as you guys are all upset about it.
Well, Phil, no one's upset. We just simply wanted to clarify some things.
Yeah, so you don't get to push buttons in the middle of the show. And if anybody does, you're all fired. All three of you are now going to pay the price for one person's screw-up. That's the way they do it in the military. You know? Ain't you seen those movies?
Yeah, I saw that one movie.
Yeah. In the movie where the guy says, oh, okay, so all of you guys are going to get a kid. That's what I'm going to start doing here. Now, Justin, getting back to your father, Daryl, is there. So I guess I ought to talk to him, huh?
Yeah, my dad's right now. He's making a tuna. He said to tell you that he's making a tuna fish sandwich. And he's heating up some soup. And then he'll come back.
Oh, okay.
Well, Phil, the man's having something to eat.
I understand. He was on the radio with me.
Well, he says he's making a tuna fish from scratch, so he's making it with mayonnaise. And I know, man. I don't like mayonnaise either. My dad does.
Your dad? Tell your dad mayonnaise is like spoo.
All right. So, Justin, getting back to what happened at school, you guys were studying the Golden Triangle. The human face has to fit within the Golden Triangle. You got three pairs of girls' pants.
Well, I mean, these were pants that the girls donated.
Okay, these are the three girls that were on your team, right?
Yeah, three guys and three girls.
Okay, so there's six people on your biology team. The girls put on these pants, and then what?
God, I mean, you're an adult. You want to hear all about it? Like, it gives you kicks?
Justin, it's not giving any of us...
It's not giving me kicks. Let me talk to your dad.
I told you he's making a...
I don't care if he's making a tuna fish... Let me talk to your dad.
You're blowing it, Phil.
No, I'm not blowing it. You got, Mr. McElroy?
Yeah, hi, Phil. It's Daryl McElroy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you were making a tuna fish sandwich.
Oh, no, that's all right. I was just getting ready to finish it up.
Okay, your son is acting... Your son's a little rude here. He's asking me questions. In other words, I'm trying to find out about this Golden Triangle.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Maybe you can tell me then, because your son seemed to infer that I was getting my kicks.
I'm very sorry. You know, it's not right of you to say that, Justin. I'm talking... what do you want to know, Mr. Henry? I'm very happy to answer your question.
All right. I want to know how the kids eventually got thrown out. I can well imagine, but I'd like to know how this all came down in front of the class.
Well, what my understanding was that Daryl and the girls, as Mary Monahan and a couple of the others, they decided that they'd put the Golden Triangle by drawing it there in the crotch area and the inner thigh area of these pants. The girls would put these pants on, and then the boys would put their heads basically on the seat of a chair, staring up with the chin jutted up, so in a position to, as Justin said, what did you say, Justin?
To receive the triangle.
To receive the triangle, whatever that means. And so, this embarrasses me.
I understand, sir.
And it embarrassed his mother. It embarrassed the Monahan family. The DeRussells were not that embarrassed, and I'm still questioning. They were embarrassed, but not as much, and I'm still questioning that.
Well, what do you think that is?
Well, they're Italian people and pride themselves on certain aspects of the female form. I don't know, but shut up, Justin. I'm telling my son to shut up and go and fix the rest of the salad that I'm making. I want more mayonnaise in the tuna. I want more mayonnaise in the tuna. I don't care. I'm sorry, Phil.
Okay.
Dad.
Yes, I want more mayo. Put more mayo. Put half the jar of mayonnaise in that tuna. I want it creamy. Yes. I don't even want to know that there's tuna in the mayonnaise.
Wow.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. I mean, I like mayonnaise. That's a lot of mayo.
I love mayonnaise. Mayonnaise makes the tuna fish sandwich, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's salt and...
Yes, that's right. I want so much mayo in there, I can't find the tuna.
Sir, why don't you just eat spoons of mayonnaise?
Because it's a tuna fish sandwich. I love tuna.
But you don't want to know what's in there.
No, I don't want to know... I don't want it bothering me. I don't want my perception bothered by the tuna. I want the creaminess of the mayo.
All right, so in any event, your son goes to school.
My son went to school with the other kids, and the girls put on these Golden Triangle slacks. Justin addressed the class and said, you can determine whether or not your face fits within the golden ratio parameters and dimensions by simply taking the human face, the measurements of the human face, and seeing if that, in fact, is affected. And I believe the boys did a demonstration on the chalkboard, to which the teacher was very satisfied, this Mr. McMultrie. As the final demonstration, the boys said, but in point of fact, let's see how it works in real life. They sat on the floor and leaned their heads back so that the heads were, they were resting their heads on the seats of the chairs. The girls then approached the boys from the front. So the, and again, Mr. Henry, I apologize for this.
Well, I can well imagine, you know.
Do you want me to go on?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, well, the girls approached the boys, then they turned so that they were, the boys' heads were and their bodies were in the same direction as the girls, and that's when they sat down the triangle on the faces, and there was another team member that would then measure.
Now, this is obviously a vulgar demonstration.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, it is. Make the mayonnaise sandwich. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. If you say no, it isn't one more time, Justin. It was vulgar, yes, Phil.
Okay, and what did the teacher do?
Well, this Mr. McMultrie said, all right, stop what you're doing. I want all six of you in Mr. Ragatone's office, who is the principal. And it was there that I was informed, I was brought in and informed that they had been suspended.
What is the explanation, and can I talk to Justin now?
Mr. Henry, I don't care. Damn your hide, I can, there's tuna here, tuna here, tuna here. Damn your hide. Damn your hide to hell. It's tuna, tuna, tuna. I see evidence of tuna. Yes, sir.
Well, I don't mean to get you in trouble.
It doesn't make any difference now. I am in trouble.
All right, hang on, and we're going to...
Okay, I'll just go into the kitchen and have my dad slap my face. That's okay.
Well, Phil, what are you going to do now? You've got this kid in a pile of trouble.
Yeah, all on account he tried to get his face in the golden quadrant.
Why don't you shut up? The golden quadrant.
Sounds pretty golden to me.
All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, as we continue this fantastic conversation here about the golden ratio, the golden triangle, the golden quadrant, whatever the hell it is. Justin McElroy and his classmates who were doing a biological test, and apparently this biological test turned out to be quite a test, all right. A test as to whether they're going to stay in high school or not. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And by the way, we are excited beyond all measure, man. We are excited beyond all measure because we are on the air, back on the air in Salt Lake City. Bud, give me the name of the station we're on, man. Well, we're back on the air in Salt Lake City, and we're very, very happy because we were just talking here about Salt Lake City, and maybe somebody back at the control can... Oh, here we are. Where are my glasses? We were just talking about KLO AM and FM in Salt Lake City starting tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless. We'll work as hard as we possibly can. We'll die here if we have to. We'll die here. We'll die at the controls, most likely. You realize that if we ever have an EBS alert, which means that there is a nuclear attack of some kind, and stay tuned to this station, you know who they're staying tuned to?
Who?
Me!
Well, you gotta go out and go to a bomb shelter.
I ain't going to any bomb shelter. I'm the guy that's got to stay here.
Well, it's been nice knowing you. I don't.
Yeah, nice knowing you.
Yeah, thanks. So you guys can bitch all you want. But if I'm sitting there saying, well, you know, the EBS, then stay tuned to the station. Like, remember in Night of the Living Dead, Bud, that you were so afraid of?
Yeah, well, everybody's afraid of it.
Okay, remember the guy saying, stay tuned to this station, and we'll tell you where to go as these ghouls attack?
Yeah.
That guy had to stay there as the ghoul attack was on.
You tell me that guy wasn't able to leave?
Well, of course he could leave.
No, what do you mean, of course he can leave? Didn't he just say to the people, we're going to stay on the air?
Well, what about someone else filling in?
Oh, that's right. Get in your car and drive through the ghouls to get to the TV station to go on the air and talk about the ghoul attack? Is that how it works?
I don't know how it works, Phil. I would imagine
They probably send out security to help to escort him through the ghoul.
Oh, that's what they do, sure. They'd send out security. And who's that? That's another guy that doesn't get to run for shelter. That's another guy with wife and kids and a house. But he doesn't get to go into the shelter. He's got to escort some guy through the ghoul attack. And that guy has got to go on the air and talk about the ghouls. So those of us in the broadcasting business, we are at the bitter end, man, of the food chain. We're at the edge of civilization, at the edge of the very existence of the human race. We stand here to give you the information, even as the ghoul pounds on the front door or uses the bell.
What do you mean use? I don't think a ghoul.
But ghoul's not going to use a doorbell.
Oh, that's right. They'll knock.
Well, I mean, don't be silly.
You're right. Why am I being silly? You guys with your ghoul stuff.
Well, you're talking about it.
I'm talking about it because you're cracking me up. You guys with this, you nuts with this Walking Dead. I told you, man, the EBS, the Emergency Broadcasting System, I'm the guy. I have to stay. I have to make the announcement. I got to say, hey, here's where you got to go. Hey, here's where you go. Like that guy on TV. And for those of you who want to know where there's a good ghoul haven, go over here to this street and that street. That poor bastard, he had to sit in that TV station.
No, yeah, a lot of other guys there, man. You can see guys in the background writing up the ghoul report.
Yes, there were people doing, well, I don't know if they call it the ghoul report, but...
You know, they probably called it the ghoul report. But there's guys like me all over the country as those ghouls attacked, and they had to hold down the fort, you know? They had to hold down the radio station. So that's what's going to happen with me. So quit your bitching and your crying and your complaining. You got a great gig, and if there's a ghoul attack, you can all haul ass in Margaret's SUV.
I don't have the SUV tonight. I have the sedan, but it would fit us.
Oh, yay, great.
Well, don't be bitter, Phil. You're the one that has to stay.
Would you drive over the ghouls?
What are you asking me, these stupid... Ask these two. They're the ones that want you.
I would. I'd haul ass over top of the ghoul.
I would, too.
Yeah, but makes sense.
Except for that one guy I saw in that one movie. They hit the ghoul and cut him in half, but the upper half of the body kept crawling toward the guy.
Would you stop, please?
Sorry. All right. So anyway, great to be back on the air in Salt Lake City. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. On the line with us, talking about something that is beyond belief, is Justin McElroy from L.A. Canyon High School, where they were studying the golden ratio, which is a set of dimensions that the human face, in order to be considered, or at least traditionally to be considered beautiful or handsome, the human face falls within these dimensions. This is something that has been studied by physiognomists and physiologists, and now it is available actually as a program, a computer program. In studying this, they find that these physical dimensions fall within a certain golden ratio, or triangle, if you will. Justin McElroy and his classmates drew this golden triangle on the crotch and the inner thigh area of female or girls' jeans, had their female classmates put them on, and then these girls sat down on your faces.
Yes, sir.
So you got a couple of laughs out of your classmates.
Well, I mean, it was more than that. I mean, the class, it was pretty much the funniest thing that a lot of people... Because what I said was, okay, because we did it militarily, we marched in. I go, you know, halt. I go, sit down. Yeah. I go, head or face, face it. And we leaned our heads back. We go, forward march. The girls marched in. And we go, about face. They turned, so... Their butts were, well, you know. And then I said, you know, triangle me. And then...
Triangle me.
Yes, sir.
And all of this was a comedy routine.
Well, I mean, no, not really. I mean, yeah, it was, but it was also to show...
How is your classmate... How are they going to see whether or not your face is fitting into this golden triangle if the girls are, you know...
Phil, would you please...
Well, I'm trying to...
When the girls got up, we had chalk on our faces, then they'd see that our faces squeezed over into the outside the triangle area, and then we had the girls bend over to show the class.
What was this teacher doing through this entire time?
Well, Mr. McMurtry was sitting, and somebody told me that he was pretty much, you know, probably catatonic at that point. I mean, he was really scared. He was staring straight ahead. Someone said that they threw a spitwad at him just to see if he moved. He didn't move.
Well, was he conscious?
Oh, yes, sir, he was, but he was catatonia, or however they say that. And I went up to him. I said, Mr. McMurphy, and I'm waving my hand. And then someone threw another spit wad at him, and then someone poured water on him. And it wasn't for a couple of minutes that he came around.
Because we heard that the man was hospitalized.
I didn't know that, sir.
Yeah. So he sees you guys, these girls, sit in your face. You got chalk on your face, and you put your biology teacher in the hospital. Good luck, man. All right, guys, we're going to see you tomorrow night. We do appreciate very much you joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We thank you, and thank you, Justin McElroy, all of our guests, for being with us. Bizarre is all I can tell you. Stay tuned. Our website will have the show log, and, of course, we will have for you, a podcast tomorrow. Phil Henry Show.